Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus is the only Savior of sinners. There is none called alongside Him to save. There is none that can be added to what He has done in order to save. Only in Christ is there salvation. And indeed, we want to point people to the Savior. We point men and women, boys and girls, to come to Christ, believe the gospel, repent of sins, and be saved. For God the Lord will save a soul. Only He can, and only the blood of Christ can cleanse from sin. I saw someone today very upset about a stain that was in a garment, and that the stain was not removed from the garment. I'm glad that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, removes the stain of sin from our record. And we would be definitely upset when we stood before Him thinking that water had washed away our sin, or thinking that some good deed had nullified our sin, or that someone else had taken care of the sin debt, when we stood before the Lord and found out that the stain remained and God was still offended because of our sin, there would not be a second chance. But I'm so glad that it's the Lord who demanded that the blood be shed to cover the sin, to take away the sin, to make the guilty one free and clean and declare the guilty to be innocent. That's to declare the guilty to be righteous. That's what the Lord has done. And the person who is trusting in the blood of Christ is as righteous as Jesus Christ Himself is. For God looks upon the sinner that is in Christ as He looks upon Christ Himself in Christ's own righteousness. So there are many who are trusting in something else to take away their sin. The Lord has high demands, holy demands, and only He can meet those demands that He has placed upon man. You need to receive Christ to get your sins blotted out. Nothing else can wash away sins but the blood of Christ. There are many who will feel that they can do enough good works and have their sins blotted out. No, my friend, the sins are still there. And when you stand before God, your sin will be with you, and your sin still sends up a stench before a holy God. And the only way that those sins can be blotted out is that you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. A church can't take away your sins. Your confession can't take away your sins. Your faith in Christ and Christ alone, only in Him will there be the faith for salvation. Only in Christ alone, will you be brought into right standing with God. That's a pleasant thought to me, to be brought into right standing with God, because I recognize what my sin did, how my sin offended a holy God, how my sin grieves the heart of God when I would choose to disobey the Lord. It's a grievous thought to the Christian. We do not delight in sin. See, the sinner, the unsaved person, sins and loves it and doesn't think anything about it until they get caught. But the saved man or woman will say, "Lord, I'm sorry." And even before, as we think wrongly, we know that our thoughts offend the Lord. But we praise the Lord for the blood. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the blood. We thank Thee, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. We plead that precious blood. We ask for power today to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. O Lord, hear from heaven and help us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now let's go to the book of Genesis, and we are in the book of Genesis chapter 19 now, and we are considering the portion of Scripture wherein Abraham he has sort of a lapse of faith, and a man with as much faith and who had known the faithfulness of the Lord that much, he now comes to a place to where he has to have the Lord, he has to have a rebuke from the world. Remember, he has gone down, journeyed south from the place where Lot was, where Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed by fire from God, and Lot now moves from that area. And the question might be asked, well, why did he have to move? Why couldn't he have just set up there and he was doing well? Well, the Lord had a reason for allowing this to happen. And some have said the reason why he moved from this place was because of the sulfuric smell that came with the judgment that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah when they were destroyed. Or some have even said there was such shame and reproach brought on by his nephew Lot and the incestuous sin that he had done with his own daughters, that it was such a shameful thing that he left. Well, again, Abraham left this area, and he traveled on south away from this area. And when he comes to this place, to this wilderness, he has to make a statement to the people as he journeys. And he gives to them the information that his wife is his sister. So when he began to enter into the land, I'm sure there were questions that were asked. Who is this? You don't have any children. Is this your wife? So it is you can understand why someone would ask, is this your sister? Is this your wife? Well, they had no children to give them any information to the contrary, so it was easy for him to tell this lie. She is my sister, he said. And so he goes on in, and the word gets back to the king. There's a man here who's got a sister, and she's a very beautiful one. Take her and make her one of your wives, king. We want the best for you. Now remember, Sarah is 90 years old, and, you know, had she been one that the fingers of time had pinched wrinkles all about her face, had caused her shoulders to stoop, had deprived her of the spring in her step, they wouldn't have asked this question. But knowing how men are, lusting after beauty, then she must have been a very beautiful woman at the age of 90, a very desirous woman to see. And so it must have meant something. I remember when my son was just a little fellow, one day we were riding in the car, and he said to me, Dad, when you get old, I'll still touch you. Now, he just brought that out of the clear blue because he had some very old great-grandparents. And his thought, I suppose, was looking, you know, the skin is all wrinkled and the hair is gray. And as a little child, he's thinking, I don't really want them to hug me. But then he told me to comfort me, Dad, when you get old, I'll still touch you. Well, I listened to that and I thought that's interesting that how a child's mind works. Well, Sarah would have said, had she been this way, oh, Abraham, who's going to want me? Look how old I am. So at that age, she must have been a very beautiful woman. That would make him to think that the king would not know anything about her age and that he would want her to bring children into the world for him. And so as he goes on, the word has gotten back that there is a man here with a sister, and take her to be your wife. Now, the Lord, that night in verse 3, causes a dream to this man's mind and head, and he is he doesn't understand what's going on. And the Lord says, you've taken a man's wife, as we're repeating what we gave you yesterday. You've taken a man's wife, and you're a dead man. And the Lord was holding the pagan in check for the way the pagan lives. You see, many times people will say, you know, well, what about such and such a kind of people? The Lord knows what these people know, and he holds them accountable to him, knowing that they should have but one wife. They should not mess with another man's wife, should not be lusting after another man's wife. And so the Lord was going to punish him if he didn't give this man's wife back to him. And before this man, this Abimelech, was able to commit any sinful act on Sarah, Sarah was restored to her husband. The Lord says she is a man's wife. She's married to an husband. So it's unlawful for you to take this woman to be your wife, and you'd better restore her. So here at the point, this man asked the Lord, as we saw before, wilt thou slay a righteous nation? So he was saying, Lord, I am doing this in the innocency of my mind. I didn't see anything wrong with this. And he recognizes, too, that he is accountable unto God for how he has lived. And did he know that it was wrong to take another man's wife? Yes. And I'm sure that he did not take any other man's wife in his kingdom. That he, even though he was a very wicked person, and the word certainly had gotten around, because the Lord had just destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah very near to them. And so, Lord, will you destroy a righteous people, a righteous nation? That's far from you, Lord, to do so. Remember, Abraham had made that same plea in Genesis chapter 18. Wilt thou destroy the righteous? God, you are a righteous God, a just God, and the just God of all the earth will do right. And this man knows that God is the standard setter. And so he is not afraid. He pleads that fact. He stands on the fact that God is a just God. And then he goes ahead and tells, it's a day of judgment in a sense. And he is telling the Lord why he has done what he's done. He said to me that she was a sister. So this man had, gone, and Abraham had been brought to his face. And again, as a man as great as Abraham was still only a man. A man who the Lord talked to was still only a man. And a man is subject to sin. So don't ever get to the place to where you say, oh, I will never, and you go ahead and fill in the blank. No, Abraham, have you talked with the Lord? Has the Lord talked with you like he did with Abraham and told you what was going to happen in the future, and that you have it written down in Holy Scriptures what the Lord said to you, and that we can testify and bear witness to the fact that God is talked to you? No, but the Lord did talk to Abraham, and Abraham was still a man, just a man. He was a man under God's grace. And she herself had testified that she was the sister of Abraham. And the man goes on and says, I did this in the innocency of my own heart. I didn't have this plan to just go out and satisfy myself and defile somebody else's wife. I wanted to make her a wife for me. But she's another man's wife, and the Lord won't allow that. So the Lord holds this man guilty for his sins, and he hears this matter and shows mercy. Heavenly Father, we pray that we will be careful today to do what we know is right, and to be sensitive to the leading of thy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson. May the Lord bless you.